car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We are recording in Strongbox West in Atlanta, Georgia. Today, around the table, we have...
Becca.
Ronnie.
Ben.
And I'm Mickey. Short agenda today. So, Becca wrote something up on the board, quite simply an excellent question. Is Waze dead?
Yeah. Where do I want to start with that? And I'm sorry, I'm changing trains of thought here. Waze was a great navigation app in that it was a socially powered navigation app. Mm-hmm. It was giving you real-time updates as far as traffic situations, obstacles, what do they call it? Hazard. There's a hazard up ahead or whatever it is that they say.
Where the police are, where the potholes are, where the roadkill is.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It was giving you real human user information in real time, and it was very handy. And part of this also gave you alternate. So if you, kind of like me, you live way far out and you commute into the downtown area, you weren't limited to the highways. It would give you options for all these back roads. You could wind all over the place with these little back roads. There was always an option. And as soon as there was an issue, it would tell you, you get this pop-up, wait, there's a better route, or wait, there's now a 5-minute delay on the route you're on. It was awesome, but it depended on user input. Mm-hmm. And what I have noticed since the 7-1 Georgia hands-free law going into effect is that Waze has been acting worse than Google Maps.
Really?
I have even tried to force it to find those back roads. It will not, at least in my experience, get off those back or get off the highways. There was a known route it used to send me on when I would go from Buckhead to Woodstock, and I was heading down that path, and it would not stop trying to redirect me back to 285, which I knew was at a standstill at mm-hmm. that point. The other day, I had to go for an eye doctor appointment down in downtown Atlanta, which I don't tend to go down near Ponce de Leon a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So it's more or less unfamiliar to me. I'm at a place that I don't know well. My eyes have been dilated, so I can't see road signs or anything. It's rush hour. I'm approaching 5 o'clock, and I really, really need this app to help me find my way home.
Right.
Now, first of all, it had already gotten me lost getting me there. It had put me totally on the wrong end of a road for Emory. I think Emory is kind of well known. Waze couldn't find it.
Waze couldn't find Emory?
And Waze could not find Emory down on Clifton. So I had to pull over and hop over to Google. Google sent me there. So on my way home, I turned on the Waze again because I knew I had my one button home set up. I wasn't going to have to be able to type because I couldn't see my phone anyways. Put it in, and it was not even giving me turn by turn. So it was constantly, I'm trying to guess which way I need to turn next, trying to fiddle with it, which you're not supposed to touch your phone, but I'm blind. I need to know where I'm going. I once again had to pull over, shut it down, and I was so upset about that. I was ready just to delete it right then and there. You know, it's fresh hour. My eyes are dilated, and I'm so frustrated. I was ready just to throw it out.
Right
then and there. So, but I have seen this decline over the last few months, and it kind of sounds like maybe other people are seeing a little bit of a decline as well.
I haven't seen it falter in terms of finding places. I've seen it burp a little bit in terms of trying to tell me I need to go down a road and make a U-turn when, in fact, I don't need to do that.
Right. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah. And lately, otherwise, it still seems to have a good way to pick the right best route for me.
Well, and I use it in my business travels. I've been using it everywhere from Pennsylvania to Louisiana, everywhere in between, and I've had very few, if any, issues.
Well, in places with hands-free.
I use it locally, too. I haven't seen really any change in quality anywhere.
There's two things I've noticed that kind of make my phone mess up a little bit. And obviously, if I'm in a parking deck or in a garage or something and it can't hit GPS...
Oh, sure. And that said, too, it's important to note that the GPS system can cause errors sometimes.
The phone, it's not Waze, it's the GPS system.
Maybe. There was one that happened with my wife recently. She was on the way to pick me up from dropping off a rental car, of all things, and she knew where the place was. She was just using Waze to take her around any potential traffic issues.
Yeah.
And it sent her on the wrong side of the interstate, wrong direction. Mm-hmm. There was no issue to go around, but it threw her for a loop. And it sounded to me like a GPS error. And I've seen this happen with workout trackers. I was using one to take a walk one time, and I looked at my workout looked at it on my tracker afterward, and according to it, I had taken a 500-mile-an-hour turn into the Gulf of Mexico.
That's awesome. But if it's the phone, if it's the GPS in the phone, then all your navigation apps would be having an issue. And I was out of the parking deck. I waited until I had cleared the structure, and I was waiting at the light to press the button because it's a one-button press.
Right.
I have it prompt. I press it. Google worked okay, which leads me to believe it wasn't my phone's error with the GPS, but rather Waze's ability to either use it or just function.
Right. So what's it like taking a 500-mile-an-hour turn into the Gulf of Mexico?
I'll tell you, it did wonders for my hair.
No, so the other thing I noticed that makes Waze mess up for me is if I'm driving into and out of Wi-Fi signals. Because, you know, my phone is programmed to pick up on a number of city-wide signals depending on where I am.
I block it out.
And if it goes into and out of a signal, it totally messes up NAV sometimes.
I will not allow my devices, any of them, to connect to stranger
Wi-Fi. Oh, no, these
Wi-Fi.
Are not strange.
No, I'm just saying mine is not signal hopping.
Yeah.
I turn off Wi-Fi unless it's my home one or my mobile one, which is pretty much for my kids.
I wish they could make any of these work in a basic GPS mode where you don't have to have any kind of network.
Yeah.
Because I go to a lot of kind of rural places.
The network is the only way you get user data.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, just a basic GPS mode to tell you where the hell you are and how to get to the next town in the most elementary way. But even, you know, Google Maps, Waze, none of them seem to work without any kind of network.
Well, now you have to go back and get the actual Garmin.
Yeah, I guess so.
Forgo the...
No, those will lose signal, too, even faster. I have a story about backwoods Florida and a TomTom. Yes.
See, I've done... On my road trips, I keep my phone in one, and I put I put them both up in nav mode. I have a regular GPS and my phone. And the maps on the GPS, my Garmin GPS, are a little bit dated, so some nuances are missing. But by and large, they're, you know, lockstep. They are totally saying the same thing. So.
Well, that's good. I've just noticed increasing issues where I just could not seem to get it.
The thing
to
I'm afraid
force
of.
Force it to get on off the highways.
The thing I'm afraid of is Waze maybe simply losing their user base for some other reason. Like we haven't We haven't seen much of a marketing push in Waze like they used to have towards doing celebrity voices or doing any other the fun stuff that people really used to enjoy Waze for.
You can program your own voice in there, though, which I've had some fun with.
You have?
Yeah.
Because I want to freak myself out if I start talking to myself on the road.
I talk to myself all the time anyways. Maybe I'm just used to it. But my friends and my kids think it's absolutely funny. Right now I have just my redneck voice, and it's we'll get you there quicker than a jackrabbit, and they like a hop, skip, and a jump over yonder. At least you can do that in Waze. You can't do that in Google.
But that's gimmick, right?
It's like, a gimmick.
That's
it's
not
a gimmick
really.
Wise.
It doesn't have anything to do with the real navigation piece,
right?
But for the, I think, but again, here I am being a cynic. I think people like gimmicks. And if Waze is going to survive as a company that needs user data to actually provide a product, then they need to make that. Yeah,
I stopped using Waze because of the amount of resources it uses on my phone. It's just if my phone decided to hit a lag spike due to processing efficiency issues, then you know Waze would just freak out.
And
then I would have no idea where I would need to go.
Okay,
right, and I'm looking to see what it really needs. The problem is, with George's hands-free, you really shouldn't be touching Waze. But as long as there's a way to tell the phone, speak it, you know, voice commands to Waze, then they can still continue the social aspect of it, which is what made it so great. Other than it was also a game.
Right.
You could drive around and collect points and,
whatnot. They screwed that up, too.
I didn't care about that aspect.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
that. In fact,
that
turned
me
off the first couple times I used it.
Yeah.
But I just wanted a navigation tool.
Now you have to belong to a team, and the team gets road candy or something like that. like that. I'm like,
but they destroyed all the teams before they did that, and they destroyed the team we had.
Yeah, that's the part that makes me wonder what's going on behind the scenes at Waze, because they're not taking care of the marketing game the way they should be.
And your notifications to leave on a planned drive always fail.
All right, it's time for our moment of trivia. You guys ready? Don't do that.
What? It's a drum roll.
No, it's a thunderous roar over here.
So I have a big bass drum.
Okay, this one's also, I'm not even going to preface it. On the Pontiac GTO, what does GTO stand for? Does it stand for gas, tires, and oil? Does it stand for Gran Turismo Omologato, Mr. Roboto? Does it stand for good times only? Or does it stand for get tickets often? Hold it. Don't guess. We'll save it for after our next.
I so want to say something that he would have to bleep out, though.
Go ahead. We'll bleep it out.
No. We'll wait until we're answering.
Okay. Wait till answering.
All right. Then I'll share what's crossing my brain in the cleanest way possible.
Does this mean that we have acquired bleeping technology?
We do, actually.
Actually, did you bleep somebody? I thought you...
Huh? You yeah, I am. I cut them out, first of all. But Ben, there's a couple times where I'll just wash over the word with the sound effect.
Yeah, so. Ben, don't.
This is still a clean podcast, folks. I just
wanna, we're back in high school.
We're back in high school again. So, Ben, we wrote up another question on the board that you had regarding another nitrogen question. I'm slowing down my speech so you can pull up your
reference. Yeah, this is from our friend Tim, who you may remember from a previous episode. Tim says, my owner's manual recommends a cold tire pressure of 32 PSI. So after 30 minutes of driving, the pressure when filled with regular air is 35 PSI. I got new Michelin tires at Costco where they offer free nitrogen filling. He did put free in all caps. Should I have them set the cold pressure to 35 PSI since nitrogen does not increase in pressure as it heats up like oxygen and water vapor does?
I have a question. So since he went out of his way to capitalize free on they offer free nitrogen air filling, are they charging for the regular air? Is that why he's leaning towards the free nitrogen?
This is really that important.
It is Costco, so I would think that they're probably both free, but... maybe you get free air if you buy their hot dog and soda combo. I don't know.
So the nitrogen question is, again, it's still, I think I know what I'm going to say, which is, no, it doesn't matter at all.
I agree.
Yes. Because air is already 70-something percent nitrogen anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 78%. So, yeah. Now, if he's racing or flying an airplane, there may be some advantage. We've covered this before for a new student listener, but I think for... you know, street purposes, it's not going to make a flying bit of difference.
No.
But there are hundreds of kids in imports that are going without their nitrous oxide system because they're running out.
Not nitrous oxide. We're talking about tires.
I know.
Now, Tim, if you can
I was get a, having fun with it.
Tim, if you can get them to offer you free racing air, then I would go for that.
Make sure, ladies and gentlemen, you switch your tire air from summer to winter this season.
Deflate. Sorry.
That is imperative for the maintenance of your vehicle. We at Limitless Automotive provide this service for the nominal fee of $99.99. There are four payments available with 35% interest.
Yeah, those of us at Pale Horse Garage recommend at least increasing your tire pressure as the weather gets cold.
All right, on that note.
Anyways, I was trying to flash over to Mickey. There is an option in here that does say you can talk two ways.
That's never worked properly for me.
I've never tried it. I'm obviously playing around. So I was
All right, you guys ready for the answer? Today's trivia question?
Do you want me to tell you what I think it is?
Yes, what do you think it is? We'll bleep it out.
Your bleeping finger ready.
Yes.
Well, see, they wanted to call it Get the F***. And they realized that they had to censor it, so it's just GTO. You know, the F is implied.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I know what may be the answer. The only thing is, I don't know what was in the mind of the Pontiac executives at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are cases where things do stand for something else because of what the guys involved had in mind. However, that said, my guess is Gran Turismo Omologato, because that's what it means in many other car companies.
Yeah, that's what I was leaning towards also. I mean, I don't think speeding tickets were as much of a thing back in the 60s. So get tickets often wasn't really a consideration.
So the answer is, you are correct. Gran Turismo Omologato.
Yeah.
I like my idea.
So here's the story. John DeLorean, Bill Collins, and Russ G were responsible for the GTO's creation. Once upon a time. The name, which was DeLorean's idea, was inspired by the Ferrari 250 GTO, the successful race car. So, Ben, you're right. It came from other cars that already had that name. It's an Italian abbreviation for Gran Turismo Omologato, which translates to Grand Tour Homologated.
Right.
Which means officially certified for the racing... tripping over my own tongue here. Which means it's officially certified for racing in the Grand Tourer class. But in reality, the Pontiac GTO was never really a certified Grand Tourer race car. Internally, it was initially called the Grand Tempest Option, one of many automobiles in the Pontiac lineup with the word Grand in it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not for good times only. It's not for good tickets. Gets tickets often. It's not for gas, tires, and oil. Although, if you get a GTO these days, you're going to need all three.
Oh, yes.
You'll burn through all three very quickly.
Very quickly. So any other last segments we should get into before we sign off?
Current GTO... brought to you by the same platform and makers that brought to you my Pontiac G8. And a little refresher, it doesn't run. So, just saying.
You know what we didn't do?
Same.
You know what we haven't done? What's in Ronnie's garage?
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah. Is that going to be Ronnie's reoccurring?
Yeah. My garage, Limitless Automotive. You can follow me on Instagram at Limitless Car Guy if you want to see what I'm working on. I've been working on a number of things. I finally, in previous episodes, many of you have heard of a E46 M3 drift car that I was building for a friend. That is finally gone. We are very happy about that.
Very good.
My wife, we spoke in a previous episode about how we totaled her Mazda 3, and that was... unfortunate. So we had to get her a new car, and that was going to be a 1999 323i convertible. That's a BMW. So that's in my garage right now because there's a check engine light that won't turn on, which is a unique issue. When you turn the key to the on position, all of your warning lights should come on. Mine does not, or the one in the 323 does not.
And it's not burnt out.
It's not burnt out. And there is a fault for a camshaft position sensor fault. After much extensive research, we find that it's the engine computer that internally toasts itself to prevent itself from sending a check engine light signal, and it interprets the camshaft sensor data incorrectly.
Wow.
That almost sounds like an EEC virus.
Right. It's pretty unique stuff. I have a Dodge Charger, a 2009 model, that I am installing a stunt brake on so that we can make it slide on movie sets. That is for another stunt driver friend. I still have a Honda S2000 up on jack stands that need a manual manual transmission rebuild. And I gotta say, this has been an odd year because that's the fourth manual transmission that I'm having rebuilt, which I always believed manual transmissions to be invincible. I thought the only thing that you would need to do is replace the clutch and maybe occasionally the fluid every 100,000 miles if you're a hard driver. But I've had four now that have either had gear pop-out issues, abnormal bearing noise, or have just fallen apart completely in the case of this S2000. And so the main cluster shaft actually lost a bolt and tore the transmission up. So it needs a complete rebuild. The same thing is actually happening. I have another car behind it with which is a 2001 Jeep Wrangler. It needs a manual transmission rebuild. The fuel injectors have failed and are on phantom status. So phantom status being it cuts in and out at random. There's no rhyme or reason for any of it. And then the last thing which I'm working on, which is very exciting for myself, is I'm working on a movie which I will not be able to name until its release. It is an excellent movie that allows me to work on a bunch of really cool prototype motorcycles. I get to work on a prototype Porsche and a number of other vehicles that allow me to push them to the very limit because these cars and motorcycles are set up for stunt driving and you need to test them. And who better to test them than me? That's my opinion. I'm sure there are other people in the shop that want to test them, but... we have some really awesome cars that we get to work with and do some very unique things to
beyond installing stunt brakes, we get to do roll cages. We get to do line locks so that we can adjust where the brake pressure goes. Line locks are very fun for burnout scenarios where if you flip, if you turn the line locks on for the fronts where you just clamp down on the front brakes and you just mash on the gas, you'll burn out all day long.
You have no choice, but
Right. And it's a lot of fun.
We're Make sure you pour a quart of cheap motor oil on your tires before you do that.
Yeah. Make it real smoky.
Real smoky.
Kill everyone off. That'll be great. That's good. Is everyone alive still? No? Great. All right. Nap time.
So when will you be able to talk about the name of this movie?
That would probably be the beginning of 2020.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I might be able to talk about it once previews start releasing, but it is a very big name movie.
Yeah.
This is a sequel, I can say that much. And the prequels were very successful movies.
Well, yeah, and we look forward to that announcement. I know I'm looking forward to that announcement. I just didn't know if you could talk about it as soon as the movie went to post or what. But
yeah,
so very cool. Ben, you got anything else you want to touch on today?
Not really, no.
Okay. There was something else. I guess that's it. Becca, you got anything?
No, but I'm thinking next time if I can find what I'm looking for, I'd like to find something that compares all the navigation apps side by side.
All right, so homework is
navigation. Yeah, I'm discovering little things just popping through because I have the default Apple, and then I have Google, and then I have Waze, and I'm finding big differences just popping through them.
So if our listeners have any input on that sort of thing, please, please tell us what you like and dislike and why. And in the meantime, I'm going to keep using Waze just because I'm used to it. So.
Well, see, and that was my thing.
Yeah.
And using my own voice was a lot more less harsh than some of the voices that others use.
So thank you, as always, for joining us. This is The Thing About Cars, coming to you from Strongbox West in Atlanta. Please find our Patreon, and please, as always, stay in touch with us and be a part of this Thing About Cars family. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us via our webpage, thingaboutcars.com. We love you guys. Talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.